Good morning. Glad to have everybody here. Happy Mother's Day. My, have we got a lot of mamas. That is great. So glad to have you here. We are in your debt. Wes just made my mama laugh. I had two little brothers who every time we sang that song would sit next to each other in the pew and they'd say, "Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother?" And mama would have to get after him. But I want to thank all the mothers that are here. You have blessed us. When I was preaching in Africa last December, I told them they were talking about the work of a minister, and they were so impressed that my brother and I were there doing ministry in Africa. And I said, no. I said, the work of a mother is more than a work of a preacher, and I can prove it. I said, our oldest brother was a missionary in Argentina for 23 years, and my older sister and her husband are missionaries in Africa, and he's been preaching in New York for over 30 years, and I've been preaching over 40 years, and my little brother's an elder in the church in Fort Wayne. The other one's a minister that's here with you. I said, so my mom's doing the work of five preachers, because without her, we wouldn't have made it. So I know, mamas, I just do this. I do it every year because thank you. I'd like for those who are mothers, if you would, to please stand. Thank you so much. And those of you who are grandmothers, I would like you to remain standing. All right. We got grandmas here. And those of you who are great-grandmas, I'd like for you to remain standing. Wow. Whoa. Those of you who are great-great-grandmas, did I lose them all? All right. That is awesome. That's awesome. Please do that. That's amazing. That's amazing. I used to tell kids that God couldn't be everywhere, so he made mamas. And then I did some Bible study, realized God could be everywhere. He just made mamas because he likes us. We're in 2 Timothy, the last letter that Paul writes. All the T's are together right before Hebrews. And in 2 Timothy, the last one of those, we're going to read about two amazing ladies in verses 4 and 5. They're not named until verse 5, but we're going to see some of what they do in verse 4. And we're talking today about a hereditary faith, a faith that gets passed on for generations. And here we have three generations of faith that Paul lets us know is at least four or five, because Timothy's sharing that with others who teach others. Timothy learned compassion from his mama and from his grandmother. And we know that from the verse before our text. In verse 4, notice what it says. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 1. It says, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, "As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy." And then he mentions his mom and his grandma in the next verse. But he says, "As I remember your tears and your joy." Okay? Men don't cry. Baloney. Okay? He learned compassion, and he learned it from people that showed compassion, and we find out he learned his faith from mama and grandma in the next verse. But Paul says, you also learned something else. I remember your tears. Okay, my grandma, I tell people her bladder's built too close to her eyeball. She cried all the time. I mean, she'd cry when you go to see her, tears of joy, and she'd cry when you leave, tears of sorrow. Okay, she's always crying. That's okay. Well, somehow Timothy learned that. And Paul says, I remember your tears. I know people, I know men that I remember their tears. And every one of them was blessed by a godly mama. And he was. So he learned compassion. What does it say about you when other people recall your tears and they recall your joy? Okay? It tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Well, here, we need to learn to do that. Okay? Timothy has already learned to do that. He learned compassion. Now, what debt do we have to those who blessed our hearts with compassion? The greatest Bible teachers I had weren't the ones that could quote the most scripture. The best Bible teachers I had when I was a kid were the ones that would call me up if I was sick or write me a card or come by to see me. They're the ones that cared about you, the ones that showed compassion. Okay? That's still the case. It's the kindness of God that moves men to repentance, Romans 2:4. And so those people who blessed you with compassion, your mama, your grandma, others, we are in their debt. Let's go on. Timothy's faith first lived in his grandmother, and then it was passed on to his mother, then it was passed on to him. Look at verse 5. He says, there we go. There it is. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. This faith, it just lived in them. Do you know people whose faith just lives in them? You can see it because you like hanging around with them because it kind of rubs off on you. Okay? People whose faith, that faith just lived in them. And that faith lived in Lois. And then it lived in her daughter Eunice. And then it lived in her son Timothy. That's the way it's supposed to be. Okay? How'd the faith of Lois proved to be hereditary? Well, she passed it on. She passed on to her kids and passed it on to her grandkids. Right? Guess what God wants us to do with our faith? Okay, I just finished teaching. I got my grades in, everything, I'm done. I finished teaching my classes over at High Valley, but I told them, I said, the first day of class, I said, I just met you today. Well, some of them were return offenders from former classes I taught there, but he says, I just met you today, most of you, and I know what you want most. What you want most, you want your children to go to heaven. Everything else is fluff. Okay? Well, that's what she wanted. She wanted to pass that faith on to her daughter, Eunice, and pass on. We said, how do you know it came from mama? Because dad's not even a believer. Dad's a Gentile. Okay? And so this one came through mama. So her faith proved to be hereditary, not just through her daughter, but her daughter also let her son go off with this missionary that came through, this guy Paul, and so let him go off and do that. Now, how'd the faith of Eunice prove to be hereditary? Because she's the one that let her son go, and she's the one that also instilled him with her faith. And Paul says, I saw that faith just coming down the generations. I saw your grandma have it, and then I saw your mama have it, and now I see you having it. And I'm confident that that faith's going to live in you. All right? I will never forget my grandmother on her knees praying and reading the Word of God. I had to sneak to watch her. But I've got the rug she kneeled on. Okay? I remember my other grandma going to see her in the morning, and she and grandpa were up there just reading the Word of God every morning. Old dog-eared Bibles. That's the way it's supposed to be. If you have a Bible that's falling apart, you probably have a life that's not falling apart. Okay? And so I saw that, and I saw that passed on. And you want that in your life. You want that to be true in your life. You want your kids to know, hey, the Word of God's important to my mom and dad. The Word of God's important. So this is a hereditary faith that's first lived in mom, grandma, then mama, and then Timothy. Now, what debt do we have to those who helped instill faith in us? It's like I told the kids this morning, when we honor our mothers, you can honor them with flowers. They like flowers. You can honor them with cards. They like cards. You can honor them with gifts. They like gifts. They mostly like children who live for Jesus. Honor them with your life. Honor them with your example. When my grandpa got cancer and sold the farm, moved into town, they moved four doors down the street from us. I had to straighten up my act. I didn't want my grandma and grandpa to know the things I used to do, so I quit doing it because I didn't want to dishonor their name. Okay? You live in a way that honors your parents, that honors your grandparents. Okay? And that's what I would hate to think that somebody thought, oh, yeah, that's one of May's grandsons. Look how bad he acts. Break my heart to even think somebody thought something like that. So you honor them, and we have a responsibility to honor those who blessed us. Now, Timothy learned the scriptures. How did they share their faith with Timothy? If you're here in chapter 1, turn over two pages to chapter 3. Look in chapter 3. There it is. Okay. He says in verse 14 and 15, Timothy learned the scriptures since he was a child. The word here is a toddler. Okay. As for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. He learned the scriptures since he was a baby. I remember our three-year-old son, Kathy had a little visual that she'd taken two little sticks, dowel rods, and a bunch of popsicle sticks and written Matthew, Mark, Luke, John on all these popsicle sticks, and had a little pipe cleaner person that she hung up this ladder, and she, with all the kids, she went through there and said, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And we had a three-year-old boy that go all the way up the ladder to Revelation. All right? You want your children to know the Word of God from infancy. All right? From infancy, you want that to happen. And that's what it was with him. Since he was a kid, since he was a baby, he didn't know. I tell people I was drugged when I was a kid. I was drugged to Bible class. I was drugged to vacation Bible school. I was drugged, okay? I was drugged to gospel meetings. I was drugged to church singings. I was drugged for all those things. That's a good way to be drugged, okay? I was dragged to all those things. And so Timothy had learned the scripture since he was a kid. I can't remember not going to, if Sunday morning happened and I wasn't in church, what is wrong? I couldn't imagine that. I'm 66. I still can't imagine that. And that's the way it was from childhood. You want that to be the case for your kids. That's what you want for them. So he learned the scriptures since he was an infant, since he was a baby. Okay, by what means did Eunice and Lois instill faith in Timothy? What's it say in Romans 10, verse 17? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So they taught him the Bible. Okay, you want to learn faith? Faith comes, if you believe what Jack says, that's just faith in Jack. If you believe what God's Word says, then that's faith in God. You want to be a Berean. What does Paul say about the Bereans in Acts 17, verse 11? He says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they received the Word with gladness of heart, and they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. If they checked out the Apostle Paul, you better be checking out Jack. Okay, because faith comes by hearing, and they wanted to have a faith that's based in the Word of God. So check it out. So they wanted him to know the scripture since he was a little kid. And I know little kids who know the Word of God. And you want one of those to be yours. Whether it's your kids or your grandkids. Now, how are we doing at instilling faith in our children and in our grandchildren? See, I'm not done. You know, my kids are all Christians, but only six of my grandkids have been baptized so far. I still got more to go. I'm trying to instill faith in my grandkids. I want that happen. I want all my kids, all my grandkids to be right with God, to be living for Jesus. That's what you want to be the case. And so they taught him the scripture since he was a child. I love that picture. Isn't that great? Here's grandma. You can just see her happy that her daughter is teaching her grandson about Jesus. All right? I want that to be us. Let's go on. Now, this one's from our Bible reading, not this week, but last week. Last week we read in 2 Kings 18 and in 22, we read about the two greatest kings Israel ever had, including David. Okay? These are the two greatest kings Israel ever had. One of them is Hezekiah, and the other one's Josiah. Good King Hezekiah and good King Josiah. It tells you flat out in 2 Kings 18, verse 5, that the greatest king Israel ever had was Hezekiah. But it tells us in verse 2 something else. It tells us in verse 2 the name of his mama. His mama's name was Abby. Okay, A-B-I. Okay? And Abby was mama. Well, now, some of the kings, good and bad, it mentions the name of their mamas. But all of the really good kings who had really bad dads, it mentions their mama. I wonder why it does that. Because even if you have a really bad dad, sometimes a really good mama can help you learn faith. And I think that's what Hezekiah is indebted to. He had an awesome mama, Abby, and somehow he became the greatest king Israel ever had. He cleaned out the temple. When they cleaned out the temple, they found the scroll of the Word of God and they read it to him. And when they read it to him, he tore his robes and he cleaned his heart and he encouraged Israel to take a vow to serve God and clean their hearts as well. Okay? And then he cleaned out the land from all the idolatry and broke down all the pagan idols and pagan altars and pagan Asherah poles and all this. So, His life was cleansed by the Word of God, and I think Mama had a lot to do with that. Okay, also, not only do we have him in chapter 18, if you turn over to chapter 22, let me see if I can find that. Over here. 21, 22. Okay, in 22 verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah. Okay, and why does it mention mama? They doesn't always mention mama. It does if it's a good king and he had a rotten dad. Okay, both of these guys, this guy's granddad was as bad as they come. His granddad was the one that burned his children in the fire, the one that put an idol in the temple, he did so much bad stuff that God said, the reason I'm destroying Israel is because of Manasseh. You know, Paul says, it's a faithful saying, worthy of all exceptions, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, right? 1 Timothy 1:15. He thought he was a worse sinner. I think Manasseh was a worse sinner. Manasseh was bad as they come. Manasseh so bad that 4 generations later, he's saying, I'm going to destroy them because of the sins of Manasseh. Okay, yeah, Manasseh is the bad guy. But Jedidah is Josiah's mama, and he turned his heart to the Lord better than any other king in Israel. And so it doesn't say he's the best king, but he turned his heart to the Lord and served God all the days of his life as well. So now, why should we be honoring Jedidah and Abby and Lois and Eunice and a whole bunch of other mamas? Because the work they do. The hand that rocks the cradle. Yeah. It helps us become who we need to be. I know Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, fathers, train up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It never tells mamas to do that, but they sure do a lot of really good work in that area. And that's what you see in the example, not just of Lois and Eunice, not just in Abby and Jedidah, but so many other mothers through Scripture that have blessed their children. All right? Now, what was the best way that Timothy, that Hezekiah, and Josiah honored their mamas. How many people today knew the names of Hezekiah's or Josiah's mom before today? Didn't know these guys. But we're already impressed with their mamas, aren't we? Why? Because the way their kids acted, right? Okay, you really want to honor mama? You live in a way that honors them. You be that example that they're pleased, that brings honor to their name. That's the way they did it. That's the way we're supposed to do it. You want to honor mama? You live a godly life. Because what you say and do way outweighs anything you can find on a Hallmark card. Okay? Anything you can buy from a florist. Anything you can get off the jewelry counter. You really want to honor mama? You honor her with your life. Hezekiah, best king Israel ever had. Josiah, turned to the Lord with all his heart, more than any king ever had. Okay? You know, Timothy, godly man. And so we honor our mother's best by our example, by our lives. Now, some of the greatest mothering in all of history is not done by biological moms. I didn't go down the hall and get it, but I had an old Bible I got when I was 11 years old. I got it from Sister Simonton. Sister Simonton, she was just this sweet Christian lady at church. And she had a reading chart out and got her whole Bible class to read all the way through the Bible. The first time I read through the Bible was in Mrs. Simonton's class. In 1 year, that whole class, we read through the Bible. Everyone, my sister did. She was in that class. Other people, we read through the whole Bible in that class. And Terry, what was his last name? Henderson. Terry Henderson. He read that whole Bible. And all these other kids were in my class. We all read through the Bible. Jane, she read through the Bible. All the kids, we all read through the Bible in that one class. And not only that, we did a whole bunch of other things. And Sister Simonton was just a sweet teacher. Right? Now, in the bulletin this morning, I told you about Margaret. Margaret had a boyfriend, and it messed up, and they didn't get married. And she never got married. But for over 40 years, Margaret taught the cradle roll class, taught the little toddlers, the little babies. And those kids just hug Margaret all the time. One of our deacons was one of her kids, and he would hug on her, and then he brought his kids there, and they'd hug on her. And his daughter just got married this last week, okay? And everybody loved, and they all love Miss Margaret. Miss Margaret, that's just, well, and so what it says, if you have your Bible, turn to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 53 is the chapter that makes you cry. Okay? Isaiah 53 makes you cry because that's the lamb led to his slaughter, you know, as a lamb is led to his slaughter, silent before his shearers. So Jesus opened not his mouth. Well, here in chapter 54, the very next verse, verse 1, it says, "Sing, O barren one who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord." What's that say? Some of your real mamas aren't biological. Okay? There is a sweet sister that I would like to introduce you to someday. Her name's Nettie Ashby. Nettie Ashby went through a lot of hard times in her life, but she blessed children. She blessed lots of children. And I am in her debt. because one of the children she most blessed is my wife. She taught Kathy. She loved Kathy. She was from Canada, and she taught her how to make tarts, really good butter tarts. But that's not what she mostly taught her. She taught her how to be kind, how to be loving, how to trust God, how to bless others. Nettie Ashby, wonderful, wonderful mama to my wife, even though there was nothing genetic going on there. She had an Aunt Frances. Without her, I wouldn't have Kathy, because she and her husband, Uncle Ernest, they taught Kathy's mom and dad about Jesus, and they were baptized into Christ, or would have never met. And then she continued to be a blessing to Kathy and her sisters, and still is. Aunt Frances is still going. She's 90-something. Don't you dare tell her she's that old if you get a chance. Because her hair's still brown, and we don't talk about that. Okay. All right. These are ladies. Okay, what it says here in Isaiah 54 is being a mama doesn't mean that you had to stand up this morning. Because some of you mamas aren't biological mamas, but all your mamas, and we owe you, and we're in your debt, because you bless. You bless. I don't see Lisa. Huh? She's with Evelyn. Oh, they went for her reunion. Lisa is such... Okay, she's not here, and she's not going to listen to the tape, but isn't she the kindest lady? Lisa is such a blessing. Never got married, never had any kids. How many people has she mothered? How many people has she shown kindness to? That's what Isaiah 54 is talking about. So, how can women who are childless still rejoice in their children? She's got a niece that just loves her to death. Lisa does. Margaret has kids that hug her all the time. So does Lisa. That's the way it's supposed to be. Okay? How can we better honor all those women who've mothered us? Make sure that you go back and thank them. We got to drive a U-Haul truck with everything Nettie Ashby had in it up to Canada so she could live up there close to her kids. Just sweet sister. But you want to honor and bless those ladies who've blessed your life, whether they're related to you by blood, whether they're related to you genetically or not. So the lesson this morning is to have a hereditary faith, to share a hereditary faith, and to honor that hereditary faith that you've received from generations past. Whether it came biologically, or whether you had a Nettie Ashby in your life, or a Sister Simonton. When I was a kid, when we were kids, all adults were Mr. and Mrs. except at church, and they were all brother and sister. I didn't even know their first names. But have and share and honor a hereditary faith. So, how are you honoring those women who helped you learn true compassion? Because you see, Timothy, what'd he do? He learned true compassion, and Paul remembered his tears. And Paul remembered his joy. And he got that from mama. He got that from grandma. How are you honoring those women? Honor them. Call them up. Kathy enjoyed being on the phone with kids this morning because it's Mother's Day. And honor them. And with your kindness and with your example. How are you honoring those women who helped you discover and develop true faith? There's people that have helped you, and they're not just all genetically in your family. There's other people that just helped you learn faith. Be with those. Bless those ladies with your reputation, because they gave that to you, and you want to live in a way that honors their name. Now, how are you honoring those women who helped you learn from the Word of God? Okay. I have to show you sometime. In my office back there, I've got my Clark's commentary, but they're not mine. They're my grandma's. Okay? And whenever there's something in there that's not biblical, she crossed it out and wrote in the scripture that was true. Okay? We got some ladies in this congregation. I'm not going to call you by name, but I'd set you up against any preacher in town. You'd blow them out of the water. Thank you, ladies. Keep that up. Keep that up. You honor those ladies who taught you the Word of God. Okay? Now, how can we better honor the women who have blessed children not their own? Whether they had children of their own or not, they blessed a lot of children not their own. Bible teachers, you have no idea what good you have done in the body of Christ. Lenny Glanton, first time I met her, she was 97 years old. She and her sister had gotten cancer and moved into a nursing facility across the street from the church building in Hale Center, Texas. Less than a year and a half later, her sister died. They were in their 70s. I met Lenny when she was 97. Everybody in her nursing home had a quilt or a pillow that she had made for them. And she made one of each for my son. We only had one child at the time. Lenny had been a Bible teacher. She and her husband were never able to have children. But the last time I met her, when she was 104, she said, "Yeah, one of my students is going to do my service. His name was Mid McKnight, who preached to thousands. 46 of her Bible teachers became ministers of the Word of God. I know how many thousand people Lenny Glanton blessed. But I'm looking for another hug from that lady someday. She got to go home years ago. Okay? How can we better honor those women who have blessed children not their own? Tell the stories. Because I think the people like Lenny Glanton, if any preachers ever make it to heaven, God's going to introduce us to people like Lenny and say, "See, if these ladies hadn't been teaching and serving and praying like they were, you'd never got half done, you got done. We're in their debt." So, if you would like to honor them better with your life, then live for Jesus. If you're not yet born in Christ, you need to die to your old life, be baptized into Christ. It's wet, it's messy, it's humbling, but it's what God chose. If you've already been baptized into Christ and you're not being the example you need to be, you need us praying with you, we'll pray for you. Whatever your need is this morning, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.